I do appreciate you coming. It's a very special day for me. This is not my final weekend, just in case you're hoping. I'm here till the Sunday after Easter, and it's customary on those final weekends for churches, when they're farewelling ministers or missionaries or whoever it is that's serving with them, to express their thanks to the person who's leaving. They either thank them for coming or thank them for going. But either way, they're thankful. And this is different. Thank you, Steve, for laughing at that. This is different. This is very much my opportunity to thank God for the grace and mercies over the years since my ordination. I mean, we're all ordained to the work of service, but there is something particular about being set aside at the call of God for Christian ministry. And I truly look back and just marvel at the grace that has been poured out along the way and the grace that has got me this far. And those two words, grace and gratitude, together have really been buzzing around in my head in the last few weeks. They've got the same root, you realize. Grace, gratitude. Gracias, grace is thank you in Latin. They both have the same root. They're the two sides of the same coin, grace and gratitude. So I'm here to thank God. I thank you for coming to do that. And I pray that as we do, you too will be caught up in the grace of God and the same spirit of thanksgiving for all his mercies to you as well. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Continue in praise and worship. Amazing grace. We thank you that your grace abounds to sinners such as us. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And truly, if we know our own hearts, we each of us feel we are the ones who need that grace the most. Thank you that in his coming, the coming of Jesus, the Word made flesh, grace is brought to this world, grace upon grace. And we just stand amazed at that grace. Undeserved, given freely. That means each of us can come now, this afternoon, into the very presence of God. We draw near to the throne of grace. And I invite you to draw near now in your own heart, in silence. You may have rushed to get here. You may have come because you want to be here for a special occasion. And for that, I thank you. But first and foremost, you're here to meet with God. And you may not have yet realized that. Let's just each pause now and reach out to him. The Bible promises if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, not because we deserve it, but because of grace. And out of that, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for reaching out to me, for bringing me here today, for speaking to my heart as I believe you will. We say thank you, too. Take a minute of silence for each of us to pray, and then Diane will lead us in a further prayer.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Saviour, has ransomed me. And Father God, we just praise you today because we can say that. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for each one of us so that we can say, my God, my Saviour. We can take that and we can own it for ourselves. So Father, we come before you. We come to worship you, to praise you, and to adore you. And Father, we just love you so much in our hearts, because when we think of each and every day, we know that you are there, right beside us, just holding our hand, just bringing us through. And we just praise you, Father, for that. So Father, now as we lay ourselves before you, we come to you with our wrongs and we just lay them at your feet and just ask for your forgiveness. And we come to you once again right now, just setting ourselves right with you. and we come together to worship you, to praise you and adore you. For Jesus, we love you so much. Amen.
My good friend Becky Rhodes is going to read it to us.
Psalm 92, verses 1 to 8, and then 12 to 15. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night, to the music of the 10-stringed lyre and the melody of the harp. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord! How profound your thoughts! Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass, and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him."
Thank you. I'm really pleased that our special events choir, I think that's a good way to describe them, are going to contribute to our services. They've been a real blessing. This choir, started by Kath, one of our musicians, just before I came, 7 and a bit years ago, has been a real asset to the ministry here in so many ways. You will want to applaud them. And at the end of the service, I'll give you a chance to do so. But I'd appreciate it because of the message that they're bringing, that we just hear God in that. It seems a bit strange for them to sing, for example, "This is my tribute to God," and we give them a round of applause at that point, but we will do so later. When I was 18, I had a very significant moment in my own spiritual journey. I'd been on beach mission that summer, and I went on a reunion of all the various beach mission teams around the country at Cliff College in Derbyshire one weekend. And I was really wrestling with the call of God to surrender my life to him. It wasn't that I was unwilling. I'd been a Christian, a keen Christian, for 5 years, but I was struggling to live up to it. And when the Lord said to me that weekend, "I want you to give everything to me," my response was, "But I've tried it, Lord, I just can't do it." And there was, at the close of that weekend, a communion service. And as the bread and wine were passed round in this gathering of several hundreds of people, it was passed from hand to hand, just as the cup was passed to me, the song "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross" was being sung. And the words that coincided with me receiving the cup were, "All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood." And I knew in my heart that that was a decision moment and a very significant one. And that's the song that the choir are going to sing for us first, but to a Welsh tune that some of you will know and love. Going to sing a Welsh hymn that I had never heard until I came here to Liswerry. Some of you will be shocked to hear that, and some of you will be shocked to sing it because you've never heard it before either. It's truly wonderful words. Great is the gospel of our glorious God. Amen. Do sit down. Does it move your soul? I mean, I'm starting to get emotional just singing that. It moves my soul and causes me to long greater joys than to this earth belong. Says here my story, and I'll try not to take long, but I just wanted to share some testimony, really. And the title I've put there, Grace Abounding. You know, when I was a teenager, when I started off, I thought I was the next best thing to Billy Graham. But I've realized I'm not. Just an ordinary guy trying to do the best he can to follow Jesus and to serve the Lord, like most of you, hopefully all of you. And we're all different, we all got different gifts, but none are more important than any other, but we just want to walk the walk with the Lord Jesus. And it is about grace. Grace Abounding is the title of a book by John Bunyan, After Pilgrim's Progress, better known, another book, Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, Grace Upon Grace. And it's just that is there in my thinking as I look back. I grew up in a Methodist church. It didn't mean anything to me. As a young teenager, I decided, like many teenagers do, that's all right for those who like that sort of thing, but not me. But through the influence of Christian friends at school, I started reading John's Gospel. And as a young teenager, I realized that what I was reading there was not what I thought Christianity was, not what I had rejected. And somehow it spoke to my heart. I remember kneeling down by my bed one night, age 13 and three quarters, or thereabouts, and asking Jesus to come into my life and be my Savior. And then that significant moment, 5 years later, the call to really let go of trying to be a good Christian, trying to be a great Christian, just trying to be there for Him, to give myself to Him. Immediately after that, I went off to University College London to do mathematics, and I dropped out after a year. I don't regret doing maths. It gives you good, clear thinking, but it just wasn't for me. And I felt a strong leading, in fact, a very confirmed leading, to go down to a Christian charismatic centre in Dorset, Post Green, where I did 2 years of evening Bible college, 5 nights a week. That's where I met Chris. She had also gone down there. I was there for 3 years. Including a year working in the community, and then we got married in 1974. A year later, she was just out of hospital for our first wedding anniversary, having had Hodgkin's disease. And surprisingly, that became the green light for me to apply for training for Christian ministry. As a teenager, I'd come home from a midweek prayer meeting at David Watson's church in York, in the early days of that tremendous work of God in that city. still there, huge church, but then early days. And I came back. I told my parents God had called me to be a missionary in China. And I never felt free to not do that, which was kind of difficult because nobody could go to China in those days. So when Chris was ill and people were saying to me, Jeff, do you really think you should train for Christian ministry? I saw that was an open door. Went to Spurgeon's, 1976. 4 years there were a real blessing. Just to be able to get to grips with the Word of God was wonderful. And then after that, I went to Frimley. And we got folk here from Frimley. We got Paul and Heather Waxstaff. Were you there when I arrived? I couldn't quite remember. I know Ruth was. Ruth was a bit like Calf. She was our main kind of pianist then. Did the Calf choir and things like that. And is now an ordained Anglican minister in Camberley as well. Never mind, we can't all keep on the straight and narrow. Sorry, Jonathan. You know I don't mean it. And Grace there. Just yesterday, I had a post on Facebook from somebody who now lives in Australia with his wife. And he'd been listening to the sermons that I preached at Frimley a couple of months back when I went back there. I had a great visit back to Frimley. It was a real joy to be there. And Mick listened to these sermons and he says, I'm really pleased to hear those. It reminded me of when I gave my life to God. And he gave his life to God the very first communion service, the very first service I took after my induction there in 1980. And we just saw steady growth. It was steady. We had no building. We met in a school hall, putting chairs out, things like that. Bit by bit, we inched towards the building going up. It was all by faith. We were helped hugely by the association, which is why I appreciate association life so much. Our building, which still looks really good 30 years on, that we put up, cost a princely £250,000. You wouldn't get a garage in that area now for that, probably. But that was a real challenge for us, a small church all that time ago. And the association raised a quarter of that cost for us, along with a quarter of the cost of three other new church plants, their buildings at exactly the same time. Association of 40 churches raising that amount of money was hugely significant. £2 million divided between four churches. And those four churches all there still doing well. So we were just so blessed when the church building opened. There was a remarkable moving of grace in the following year. That's the only way I can describe it. We had 50 baptisms in that next year, and the membership went up in the next two or three years to 200. And it was just wonderful to be there, and then God called us to Thailand, which came as a great surprise to them, but even more to Chris and I. But it was such a clear call, and that has been one of the great blessings of our life. Any of you had the privilege to work overseas for a lengthy period of time? Jackie Wells here was our BMS colleague in Thailand. She was there to greet us when we arrived. We thought we were going to be the first BMS missionaries ever to go to Thailand, but she jumped ahead of us because she transferred from Bangladesh when her visa expired. So she was there to greet us. And it's just such a blessing, isn't it, to see church elsewhere in a different country. We worked with the Church of Christ in Thailand. I'm not really a Baptist, Jonathan. And it was a joy to be working with Christians from all sorts of traditions. The first 4 years were really hard. I come from a really exciting situation. Words are my primary gift, I suppose. And there I was. I couldn't speak the language. I couldn't get anywhere with the language. I was a duffer at the language. We were really old when we got there. We were 35, and that made it hard to master the language. Up in the northeast, where we spent the first term after language school, a year and a quarter of language school, 2.5 years up in the northeast, they spoke a different dialect variation of Thai. That made it harder still. And after 3.5 years, I thought, what on earth were we doing here? It's just such a waste of time, especially after what we could have been doing. And then the Lord opened the door for us to go to Bangkok, and for 7 years I taught New Testament in Bangkok Institute of Theology. And because I couldn't do very much, I could do something. I could master the reading and writing and teaching, hard work, but I could do that. The first book I taught was John's Gospel. They wanted me to reach teaching material on it, to write teaching material on it. And that became a short commentary on John's Gospel. There was not a single commentary on John's Gospel to teach these students. And I ended up, OMF published 5 books there of New Testament. I'm a published author, but only in Thai. So that's not much help to you. But to me, to spend 7 years studying and teaching all the bits of the New Testament that the Apostle Paul didn't write, because that's what I ended up doing. I knew Paul fairly well. But to be able to study the rest of it, well, I think ever since, my ministry has been enriched by that biblical knowledge then. We came back after 11, 12 years, went to Carshalton Beaches Baptist Church. Andy here, one of the senior deacons, and Gwen, his wife, she's Welsh, so she's all right. And that's where I knew Steve and Becky and their boys, Edward and Daniel. They now live near Froome, so we've seen quite a lot of them. And I see Maud at there. Wonderful. Maud is from Zimbabwe, and it's just great to have you here today. And she's now waving at the others because she didn't hear that. And that was a suburban church, a strong church. And it would be true to say, I think, the building project dominated those years, wouldn't it? We had a £1.5 million building project that went on and on and on. But just before time came to leave, really, it was finished. I kind of hope that we get the building up in 5 years and then I'd be able to reap the benefits of it just as we had at Frimley with some fruitful ministry. I had an email both from Andy here and also from another of the leaders there, Paul Scott Evans, a month or two ago. And this is what Paul wrote, and Andy wrote something very similar. Paul said, I just wanted to tell you how it's all worked out since you left with regard to that building, which so dominated everything. The church is used so much by the local community that the income received from bookings amounted to over £48,000 last year. The cafe is open 4 mornings a week. We employ a part-time manager. The annual youth fest centered on the church attracted hundreds of people. And at the Christmas services, we welcome many visitors. And he goes on to recount the blessings. So, you know, it's just a privilege to have had a part in that as well. And then we came here. Seems to be every 7 or 8 years, that's as long as I've got in me. And then God moves me on somewhere. Coming to Wales, there is a kind of a rumour, myth out there that English ministers don't like coming to Wales. Well, I'll tell them they're wrong. It's such a joy to minister in Wales. I know some of you would say, as Gwen's mother did to me when I told her I was going to Wales, that's not Wales, that's Monmouth. It's not Wales proper, it's not Welsh-speaking Wales, but it's been such a joy to serve God here in this church. And I thank you, many of you here today, obviously from this church, I thank you particularly for your love, your acceptance, your support, and especially your prayers. This is a praying church. I am a better pastor and a better preacher now than when I started here, let alone at the beginning. And Nigel Wright, former principal at Spurgeon's College, once said, or said around his retirement, you finally work out what you're meant to do as a minister and you have to stop. And that's pretty much how I feel at the moment in that sense. But it has been a blessing. If you're in a church where you wish you got a better pastor, the saying is, all you've got to do is pray for the one you've got and see what God does. It's been a real privilege as well in my time here to have a couple of extracurricular activities. They've been on top of all that I've done here. I think it's enriched the life of the church here a lot. One of them with churches in Newport. I felt strongly from the time I came here that we needed to do something to raise the profile of all the wonderful Christian work. There's some tremendous work going on from Christians across various churches working together. And some of us, the churches together had died, but some of us relaunched it. Jonathan, the Archdeacon, is here today from the cathedral, from the diocese. Margaret Smith, where's Margaret? There at the back row. Margaret has run Raven House Trust and is part of the steering group. We've got Hugh Stevens somewhere around there. Where's Hugh? There he is. He's just come onto the steering group as I've come off it. And Michael Taplin had a nasty fall last week, so he can't be here. But just been a real blessing, the fellowship we've had together, hasn't it? And that's been an enrichment. And so too, in the last few years, working with the association. When Andy Hughes, one of the regional ministers, was seconded to Dick Cott, and it wasn't known at the time if he'd come back, that left Nick Bradshaw pretty stretched on his own. as a regional minister. And so some of us were asked to help out in a small, limited capacity. And right through until last November, when Susan Stevenson was appointed regional minister, along with these two gentlemen, give us a wave, Carl and Tim, part-time regional ministers. And it's great to have them here as well today. So I've just been very, very enriched indeed, and have so much to be thankful for. Last Sunday evening, our minister in training, Chris Tuck, preached an excellent sermon on a difficult passage, 2 Corinthians 10. I've given it to him to preach because it was a difficult passage. And the concluding verse in that is, "Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." It's all about grace. It's all about what God has done through us. And it's right to celebrate that, and that's why when Rupert was able to be here and there was the opportunity to have this meeting today, I thought, let's make it a celebration that really is for me to give thanks to God for all that he has done. But I am just getting started, I hope. You know, the idea of retirement doesn't sit comfortably with me. A year ago, I really was a bit disappointed that we knew we had to move because of our youngest granddaughter having serious medical needs and needing a lot of support from grandparents way up in North Yorkshire. So it was clear that we had to go, and the church understood that and have been hugely supportive all through the times Chris has had to go up and be there with the family and everything else. But last summer, the Lord said something to me that is very special. He said, if all you do is end up looking after little Chloe or helping the family as they look after her, don't see it as a demotion, see it as a promotion. Because there's no higher calling than to serve those in need, needy children, whoever they may be, needy families. And I've taken that to heart. I do suspect there'll be something else as well. And I'm not in a hurry to find out what that is. I think I'm due a sabbatical, and that's what I'm going to be doing this summer. But I do, if there's anything that is there taking shape amongst other ideas, and there are several, the town we're moving to, you see a picture of it on the back of the service sheet, being set aside or rather liberated for a different kind of ministry. I don't want to go and plant a church, but I want to be there and just see what God will do. I've learned a lot the last couple of years about that for all of us. It's not about going out and doing stuff. It's about being there for Jesus and being Jesus in that community. Working with other churches, that's always on my heart. There's only an Anglican and a Methodist church and a mile or two away a small Pentecostal church in that town of 10,000 people. And both the Anglican and the Methodist ministers don't live there because they've got other churches elsewhere. It could be, and I say this with some sense of uncertainty, it could be I'm the only minister living in that town. And I just don't know what might come out of that. But I just want to be there for the Lord. So I do feel really privileged. I am so glad that I didn't say no when the Lord called me to follow him. We don't all get called to this kind of ministry, but we should never ever say no to whatever he calls us to do, because it's the very best. Doing what God wants is the very, very best. So I hope you'll pray for us. It will be different, but I hope you'll pray for Skelton in Cleveland. Never heard of it before, have you? Some of you. And I hope you'll be looking out to see what God might bring out of that. In some ways, I see it as the real test of my ministry is still to come. I said to Seb, one of the young people here, just after church on Sunday, he was asking what about the future, and I just came out as we were talking. I said, in some ways, the test is what I will do for the Lord when I don't have to do it, when I'm not paid for it, when it's not my job. Will I do it because it gives me a hobby? Will I do it because it's my driving passion? That's the real test. And somebody else also said to me after church on Sunday, well, you're on the home stretch now, aren't you, Jeff? And I said, well, as far as being here, yeah, that's true, of course. But actually, I'm on the stretch to my next temporary home. I'm hoping, God willing, that it'll be another 10 years or more before I'm on the home stretch. You know, but until we get there, what's the point of putting your feet up? Other than what God calls us to do. So I want to thank you for coming to share this day with me. I want to thank God. And I want to thank Chris. Come on, Chris. Uh-oh. because I couldn't have done this without her at all, from start to finish. You know, when I came for a wife, I wanted somebody who could draw well, because we didn't have PowerPoint then. And I wanted someone who could play the guitar, because I couldn't sing. And as an extra bonus, her brother Brian here was an optician, so I got free glasses at that time. Thank you. Story is be to God. We're going to sing a song, My Heart is Filled with Thankfulness. There will be an offering taken during this. Visit elsewhere. Don't feel obliged to give. One of the great blessings on arrival here was that in a church which historically has never had any money other than the faithful giving of its folk, we had two huge legacies. One of which is still ring-fence for employing extra church workers. There are three people here today, Lawrence, Raph and Chris, who have all been employed here part-time during the last few years because of that legacy, and that will continue into the future. We had another legacy at the same time of around £70,000-£80,000, which we set aside for doing work on the building, and we've done an awful lot of just not £1.5 million projects, but good improvements. And that's been so wonderful to be able to do stuff to improve the building without having to ask for money each time. But that fund has all gone now, and the Lord said to me last autumn, have a thank offering when you go, so that whoever comes next, there is a fund that can be similarly there to be helpful in the ministry. And so our own members have been challenged with that. I've written to all of them and said, this weekend, this month, could I invite you to give a thank offering? If you're thankful for my ministry, if you're thankful, would you like to show that in this way, which will be of benefit to the church in coming years? So that's what the offering is for. And if that stirs your heart and you'd like to add to it, please do, but don't feel obliged to do so. My heart is filled with thankfulness. And in your service sheet, you will see on the right the page inside that it's headed prayer, thankfulness, penitence, and rededication. And again, this is personal, my own prayer in each of those categories. I'm grateful to Reverend Peter Wood, who, when he retired 3 years ago at his retiring service, had something like this. I've adapted it slightly, but I kept that service sheet. Not particularly thinking about this, but I just kept it. And there are not many Baptist liturgies for retiring ministers that I found, so this has been helpful. But I'm going to pray the prayer, obviously, with my name, and then Diane will lead you, please, congregation, in an echo, a personal echo for you, of the same prayer. And at the end of it, the choir will sing again. I give thanks to God for his love, for all the blessings I have received as his minister, for the joy of serving his people in each place where he has put me, for all lessons learned, especially of love for God and neighbor, for all hopes fulfilled, and for all that has been accomplished through his grace.
We give thanks to God for his faithfulness, for all the blessings we have received through your ministry, for the joy of serving with you in the ministry we have shared together, for all lessons learned, especially of love for God and neighbour, for all hopes fulfilled, and for all that has been accomplished through his grace.
When I have failed to listen to God's word, when my love has been cold, when my prayers have been few, when my faith has run dry and my obedience has been lost, dear Lord, forgive me.
When we have failed to receive God's word, when we have expected to be loved without loving in return, when we have forgotten to pray, when our faith has been in ourselves alone and our obedience has been lost, dear Lord, forgive us.
As I go on to the next stage of my journey, to the place you have called me, Lord, keep me faithful in love and prayer and service of you. Fill me with your Spirit daily, that I may continue to bear fruit all the days of my life for your glory until you call me home.
As we go on to the next journey of our journey, in the place you have called us, Lord, keep us faithful in love and prayer and service of you. Fill us with your Spirit daily, that we may continue to bear fruit all the days of our lives, for your glory, until you call us home.
Amen. Amen. Reverend Rupert Lazar is going to come and speak to us. I apologise to him that I gave him an extra A in his name. Sorry about that. It's only one A there, not a double A. I knew Rupert when I was at Carshalton Beaches. He was then minister of a church in Croydon, moved to High Barnet. After that, I was actually baptised at New Barnet. Did you know that? You know, New Barnet Baptist Church. They knocked it down soon after, but. And it's great to have you here in your office as president this year of the Baptist Union. And tomorrow he's going to the little church out at Pandy. And good to have Sue Barker, the pastor there, here as well. And I think that's great, you know, that you're here in South Wales seeing Abergavenny or thereabouts at its best at this time of the year. It's just beautiful up there this week. Absolutely stunning, the flowers that are out. But before we hear from Rupert, we're going to have a second reading about the grace of God, and Jean Ferris is going to come and do that.
The reading is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen.
It is good to be here with you. Although I haven't listened to Jeff, I don't know where I am. I thought I was coming to Wales, but I could be in Monmouth. And I thought I was going to Lisbury, but I was told go for the cruise, and I can't do that bit. And I'm thinking, I don't know where I am, but it's nice to be here. It's nice to be here and to share with you this afternoon. I don't know if you're the kind of people who like to explain things and kind of like express yourself. Because if we were with the rugby crowd, having heard all this thing about God, that reading about God, we'd want to say, wow. We want to say, wow, because we'd be full of that kind of deep emotion and passion which would want us to express ourselves. But we don't do that in our Baptist churches. So we will behave. We will say, wow, in a very gentle way. Just say, wow. God is gracious, God is merciful, and God is loving. And it is through his grace he does not punish sinful, rebellious humans, people like you and me. He doesn't punish us, rebellious as we are. But instead, it's in and through Jesus. God's response to us is with love. That's a wow. That's a, say it gently, say it quietly. Do it in a very Welsh Monmouthian way, but say, wow. We have been made alive in Christ, scripture tells us. Hey, man, whoa. No, that one has thrown me. I don't know where I am in my notes now. Oh, dear. Before we were Christians, dear friends, we were spiritually dead. And now we are alive because of faith in Jesus Christ. In and through Jesus, we are spiritually alive. And that is indeed worth a hallelujah. We have so much to be thankful to God for. So much. The very breath that we breathe. The fact that we hear The fact that we are alive, there was just so much. And I'm just trying to be as basic as I can be to give God thanks for. Thanksgiving is the very essence of Christian living and attitude. And I forgot I was going to operate this thing. So I'll put some pictures and you remembered. What a good man. And yes, Thanksgiving is the essence of Christian living and attitude. And I think I want to say that Christians must be known and should be known for their expression of thanks. The Apostle Paul would want to say that. So the Apostle Paul would want to say that. He'd want to say, Christians, don't be known for your obscenity. Don't be known for your foolish talk. Don't be known for your coarse joking. But actually, be known for giving thanks. And later on in Ephesians 5 and verse 20, he said that a spirit-filled believer is someone who always gives thanks to God the Father for everything. Does that sound like us? Does that sound like us? That's what the Apostle Paul says we are to be. Folks, the healthiest of all human emotions is gratitude. Healthiest of all human emotions is gratitude. I don't know if you thought that when you woke up this morning. I don't know if you lived that. But I'm trying to encourage you into this. Psalm 95 verse 2 would say, come before his presence with thanksgiving. Psalm 100 and verse 4 would say, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. We know it so well. Thanksgiving is commanded in scripture. Right there, very clearly before our eyes. You wouldn't have thought that God wouldn't have to command it. You would have thought we would just do it because we are just so full of gratitude. But maybe he commanded because he knows what we are like. Maybe he knows that it needs to be commanded to get it out of us. Everyone has reasons. Everyone has got reasons to give thanks. Indeed, giving thanks for the Christian is a way of life. It is not an occasional act. It's not something you do after 37 and a half years or thereabouts of ministry as a pastor. It's an everyday thing. It's a natural response of life as a Christian, giving thanks. It's an ongoing thing. So today in particular, we are, and rightly so too, celebrating many years of faithful ministry. And naturally, we are people who are full of thanks to God for his faithfulness. And we are grateful to him. We're grateful to the God who was called, and we heard something of that calling. The God who sustained, the God who gave gifts, and his grace was sufficient for all of Jeff's need as they've journeyed down to the years. The God who's given him wisdom, the God who's given him staying power over building projects. Which minister likes building projects? Oh, hi, ay, ay. We are grateful to this God. God has enabled his servant Jeff to minister in many diverse circumstances. And today we come to mark his retirement, and it's fitting and it's right that we celebrate with thanksgiving. I like what one scholar said in his commentary in respect of Psalm 100 verse 4, which I referred to earlier on. And he says there, let's about enter the spirit of thanksgiving, his course of praise. He says, I exalt gratitude as a central biblical response of the heart to the grace of God. I like that. The biblical command, the Bible commands gratitude to God as one of our highest duties. One of our highest duties. Gratitude to God. I want to read you a story. This story is in Luke's Gospel. It's not on the screen, so just sit back. I was going to say put your feet up, but maybe not. Just sit back, relax, close your eyes if you want. Just let me read you a story of an encounter that Jesus had on one occasion. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. 10 were healed, but only one came back to give thanks. Only one came back to give thanks. 9 walked away. 9 walked away. And Jesus comments on it. Don't for a moment think this is insignificant to Jesus. He notices and he comments on it. So many people daily receive, and so many of us daily receive many, 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 many blessings. And so many of us walk away. And so many of us walk away without giving thanks. God, in his grace, in his kindness and mercy, he gave to the 10 what they most wanted. They were ostracized. They were on the margins of society. They wanted to be reintroduced to society. They wanted their health. They wanted to be restored to their families. They wanted to go back to worship. They wanted to go to work. They wanted all those things. And they cried out, Jesus, have pity on us. And he gave them what they most wanted. He healed them, that they may be restored in all those ways. And yet, only one came back to give thanks. Only one. And this one, the Bible also wants us to note, is a foreigner. Only one comes back to give thanks. This story, I find, is an incredible story of mercy, of compassion, of power. And among other things, it reminds us of the inclusive nature of God's love. It is for all people. And of course, that includes outsiders, the foreigners, people who are different, different racial groups, different culture. It's for all people. People who we would often choose to have nothing to do with. But God's grace in his love reaches out and extends to them too. These lepers were in need and Jesus helped them. Grace and gratitude, both, as we've heard earlier on from Jeff, are expressions of love. Grace and gratitude. Grace is the initiation and gratitude the response. Grace is an undeserved gift given simply because the giver desires to bless. Desires to bless. Jesus simply wanted to bless those guys. That was grace in action. And gratitude is the response. It's that feeling that expresses itself towards the giver of the gift. The one who comes back to say, thank you. Friends, God in his grace, he gives, he blesses us. Ours is the turn to come and to give thanks. I'm trying to encourage us to remember daily, continuously, give thanks to God. You know, one of the things that in our church lives, I'll not speak about this church because I don't know, and I'm sure under Jeff's leadership it wouldn't be true. But in too many of our churches, you find all sorts of prayers for all sorts of things under the sun, but you never find prayers of thanksgiving. And you say, let's have time for giving prayers of thanksgiving. And 2 prayers of thanksgiving, and then you end up hearing a whole litany of prayers of, Lord, help us, help us, help us. And the thanksgiving is lost somewhere. Where have we lost the art of giving thanks? And just stay with it. Giving thanks because God is just such a good, gracious, loving God who blesses us in so many ways. Jesus simply wanted to bless and to help them. They had not done anything to deserve it. His action was all of grace, which makes it all the more startling that 9 walked away. Gratitude is a response to grace. I remember well the song I learned in Sunday school all these many years ago. Let me see if you know it with me. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. You know it. Count your blessings, name them one by one. We don't sing it anymore, do we? It's kind of like an old tune now, it's lost somewhere. But it's just so rich, and it's just so good, and it's just so true. And if only we were too, I think we would cultivate that attitude of gratitude. God in His grace reaches out to us through Jesus, that we may know forgiveness. God in His grace reaches out to us through Jesus, that we may be reconciled with Him. God in His grace reaches out to us through Jesus, that we may know mercy. God in His grace reaches out to us in Jesus, that we may know peace. God in His grace reaches out to us in Jesus, that we may know shalom, well-being, a right relationship with God. We don't deserve it, but God in His grace reaches out to us. I like what, I hope you can read that, Karl Barth had to say. He said that the only answer to grace is gratitude. The only answer to grace is gratitude. I've never studied Karl Barth, but I discovered that. I believe it's true. I looked it up a few times just to make sure. I know that Jeff will agree with me that the foundation of his sense of gratitude is that our God of grace has accepted us, has accepted him. Our God of grace has accepted us. How wondrous and how amazing is that news? That God has accepted us. That we want to say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And if there's no other prayer that can come out, just thank you, God. That's a great prayer. That's a great prayer. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for dealing with humanity, for dealing with us, not on the basis of merit, not on the basis of worthiness, because if He were to, I don't know which one of us, indeed none of us, will be getting anywhere at all with Him. But it's all about His goodness, His generosity. It's all about His grace. We were once dead, but now, through Christ, God has made us alive. We didn't earn it, but God has done this for us. It's a gift emanating from His great love for us. And so we're grateful to our wonderful God. One of the most powerful responses to events in our lives is really gratitude. If I were to give you a gift, if I were to suddenly go into my wallet and give you all £20 now, each, well, you wouldn't, because I haven't even got that in my pocket. I haven't even got 20 quid in my pocket. I normally go to the wife and say, have you got any money, please? But it would be unexpected. And you'd be so grateful. Well, thank you. You'd be reticent at first, but you'd be full of gratitude. You know, if you get a raise from your boss when you weren't expecting it, or if you got a gift or something like that, you just express gratitude. You say, thank you. You never expected it. You've done nothing to deserve it. Just grateful. Be grateful to God. This one letter came back. He ran right up to Jesus. He fell at the feet of Jesus, and he expressed his gratitude, and he gave thanks to Jesus for his healing. You may not want to run up. You may not want to prostrate yourself on the floor. You may not want to be such an exhibitionist in your behavior. But get the point of the story as we read it through our very British and Welsh ways. And just get the point of the story. See the extravagance. Just the gratitude. God is just so good. So good and so kind. I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said. I knew you were a Spurgeon man, so I thought I would slip in a Spurgeon quote just for you. I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said on one occasion. He said, we do not praise the Lord fitly, proportionately, intensely. We receive a continent of mercies and only return an island of praise. That really spoke to my spirit as I was preparing. It is God's will that we give thanks in all circumstances. The Apostle Paul, who you knew so much about, told us that in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. I want to suggest to you, my dear friends, and I've got a quote here from Joyce Meyer. I quite like Joyce Meyer and some of the things that she has to say. She says, God's grace is amazing. We are saved by grace, God's undeserved favor, and we live by grace, which is also God's power in our lives to do what we could never do in our own strength. And it's all because God is love, and he loves us unconditionally, constantly, and completely. Giving thanks honors God, who in his grace has given us good gifts. And with this, I'm going to end. I'm just looking at the clock to make sure Jeff has told me enough time, so don't go on. He told me in the emails. He told me when I arrived today. I've got the message. You'll be pleased to hear I'm on the finishing straight. As we read that Ephesian passage about God's grace and his goodness, it talks about this God who we honor as we give thanks, who's given us gifts. My theme for the year as president, as I go around our churches and our union, is to remind us that we are anointed to do good. Hence, you've got the little bookmark. The gifts that God has given to you, all of us, the gifts that he's given to you, they are to be used for the common good. They are to be used to be a blessing to others. And God has prepared long in advance, the Ephesians passage tells us. Long in advance, God prepared these good works for you to do. And he's given you these gifts that you may go and you may so bless others, that they too may return a continent of praise. And they too may know of this amazing and wonderful God of grace, that they too may live lives of gratitude and expression of thanks and praise to this God who is always gracious. Bless you.
Thank you, Rupert. That's just spot on. You may not know this next song by Christine Getty, but you will know the tune. It's one of my favorite songs. In response to grace, gratitude. In response to grace, in gratitude, here I am, Lord. I give you my life. Let my thanksgiving be seen in my thanks living for you. And I just invite you, as we sing these words now, think of God's grace to you. And respond with the promise, your promise, that you will go, you will do, you will serve whatever he is calling you to do. Let's stand to sing. Coming towards the end, but even as that song responds to what has gone before, the grace of God, it also urges us to go forward, doesn't it? And to do that, we need the renewing of the Holy Spirit, and we need to have his hope in our hearts. And so I wanted also, as we came to the close, for there to be prayer for Chris and I, for what lies ahead, and also for you, for that to be your prayer. And I'm not sure how this will work, but I think it will. I've invited some folk from all those places that I've mentioned to come and just gather around Chris and I. There won't be time for all of them to pray out loud, but I'd like Brian, maybe it's Brian, you've been there from the beginning as far as I'm concerned, as far as Chris is concerned, because you're a lot older than her. there at our wedding. You were there at my ordination, were you, down in Poole? You remember? Yeah, you remember. I know you're getting on a bit. Do you remember? Yeah. Yes. I thought you were. I've asked Ruth and Paul to come from Frimley. Jackie here from Thailand. Andy and Steve from Carshalton Beaches. Richard and Jean, who were the elders here when Chris and I first had contact with this church. They've stepped down from that role, but they're still much loved and respected in our midst. Jonathan from churches in Newport. Carl from the association. They're going to come and just gather around us and pray for us. Rupert will come and stand with them too. There'll only be time for three or four of them, I know. I asked any to pray. I'd just like them to pray as they're led. And I've asked Rupert then to pray for all of you, to lead in a prayer for all of you, of renewal, of hope, of going forward to follow. For those of you who do pray, it would help if you use this microphone. Jackie is the custodian of the microphone. So those of you who know you're going to do that, could you come and do that, please? And there's that nice picture on our service sheet of Chris and I holding hands at my ordination. So here we are. Let's do it again. And then the choir are going to sing their final song as after Rupert's prayer. So if you want the microphone, just grab it off Jackie. But please, let's pray.
Wow. Heavenly Father, how we just love to express gratitude to you. And we together just give gratitude for what you have done through Christine and through Jeff. And I pray now, Chris and Jeff, as you go forward, I should be saying Jeff and Chris, shouldn't I? As you go forward into your new ministry, whereas you have known the work of God by his Holy Spirit in you, I pray that you will continue to know the work of God's Holy Spirit as you embark on this new mission, whatever that may mean, looking after those grandchildren, helping your daughter. I pray God's blessing to come and to rest upon both of you, on you, Christine, and on you, Jeff. Just come and touch them and fill them. May their last few weeks here be anointing and just that touch from you. But as they go up to Cleveland, Lord, I just pray that that anointing for that new work will go with them, empowering them and enriching them and blessing them. Amen.
We thank you, our Father in heaven, that you are the one. You are the faithful one, and our lives, Lord, are right in the palm of your hand. We thank you today, Lord, for the privilege of knowing and loving Chris and Jeff. We thank you, Lord, that you have gifted them with many gifts. And Lord, over the years, we've seen those gifts being used for your glory. And because they've given them to you again, you've multiplied those gifts, and there has been much blessing. The faithful shepherd, Lord, you have guided them, and you won't stop doing that now. And we thank you, Lord, that you go before, and that you will make the paths very clear for them. Watch over our friends, Lord, and let your blessing fall upon them. And the family of God here in Liswerry, you will be their shepherd too. And we give them to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you for your call on Jeff and Chris's life. We thank you for their obedience to you, for the service both here and abroad, and for the many people who have been blessed through their ministry. And we commend them to you now. Go before them. Go beside them. Be their strength and their joy in whatever their new ministry brings. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being part of Jeff and Chris's ministry. We thank you for all they have done. And Lord, we pray that as they move on to a new part of their life, that the blessings and the fruit of this ministry here will continue to be seen. And we ask you to bless them as they go. Lord, may they find encouragement waiting for them there. And Lord, just bless them, protect them. Amen.
Amen. And Father, we finish this time of prayer as we pray for each other. And I pray for all your people gathered here. Pray, O God, for in these moments a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Father, drawing us deeper into you, knowing who we are in you, and loosening our tongues to express our thanks and our gratitude daily for your grace and your goodness. And Father, I pray for others among us who may not know you today, that there be a move of your Spirit upon them, that they may have heard and recognized something of the wonder of who you are in and through the celebration this afternoon, and so be drawn into that relationship with you as you move upon them by your Spirit. That, Father, their tongues may be loosened too to give thanks for the great God that you are. So, Father, for all of us, may we go forward being kept in step with your Spirit. May we move forward knowing that you, the God who watches over us, the God who neither slumber nor sleep. May we move forward always with thanksgiving on our lips and the quiet and certain assurance of your grace and your faithfulness, which meets us in every circumstance, that we may be who you've called us to be in the places you have placed us for your glory. So move upon us by your Holy Spirit, we pray, in these moments, that, Father, we may have strong and glorious testimonies to bring and to share of what you have done and what you continue to do in our lives. In the name of Jesus, for the sake of Jesus, that your kingdom may come and that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Jesus, I follow. I think the last time I heard that song sung was at our wedding. And that's why I asked Kath if the choir could sing it for today, because it's all our life. We're called to love him and to follow him. It was also my request that the choir sang that previous song, my tribute. If there'd be any praise, let it go to Calvary. That was new to them as well, so I'm particularly grateful that they have learnt those two songs just for this occasion. And I said there'd be opportunity to thank them. Please do. Thank you to everyone else from the church who has done what is needed for an event like this, from the car park when you arrive, the office stuff, and especially the tea, which awaits. You are very welcome. There's plenty of food. I would just say, be sensitive to any brothers and sisters who do not wish to know the result of the Wales game. I was asked to announce that that should not be mentioned, because some people have recorded it and do not want to know the outcome. I don't want to know anything. No comments. Spoiler alert if you attempt it, so that they can run a mile. Thank you to every one of you who's come, especially from far afield, and really grateful. And thanks to Rupert. That was good. That was really good. Are you glad you came?
Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I'm glad you came. It'd have been a bit lonely on my own. but we do praise God. Jesus, the name high over all. Let's give him the glory in our closing. And now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, through the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything you need for doing his will, and make in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. To him be the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Amen.